please don't be guilty of downplaying sin. Far too many people in our world today downplay the seriousness of sin. When you wonder why the world is in the shape it's in, you wonder why division is taking a toll, you wonder why families are being separated, you wonder why people are losing jobs, you wonder why the economy is in the shape it's in. You wonder why there's so much division happening even in the Lord's church today. We wonder why in the world are all these things taking place. And I'm afraid today it's because we have a tendency as mankind, if I may, to downplay sin and sin's effect. I want to let you know today from the Word of God that sin is deadly. We all know from the Bible that each one of us have an appointed time. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, down in verse 27, it is appointed once for man to, but after this, the judgment. So since we know that that day is coming and every single one of us will stand before God to be judged, to be held accountable for what we've done or the things that we didn't do, do you agree with me today that it would behoove us to recognize sin and to call sin what sin is? Amen. I want to share with you today what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, down in verse 23. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a person among us, nowhere in all of the world, that is free from sin. Every single human being that ever breathed air besides Jesus Christ has sinned and fallen short. But let me share something else with you. We all recognize, yes, everyone has sinned and everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. But I believe it behooves you and me to remember what the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23. For the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Folks, I want us to all understand that there is a humongous, huge, just outstanding, unbelievable price that must be paid for sin. And we know that sin is very expensive, as it was very expensive from the time that it was brought into the world. You see, God gave very specific instructions for Adam and Eve there not to touch. You remember that? Do not touch that forbidden tree. The tree of knowledge of good and the tree that was right smack dab in the middle of the garden. But we saw, the devil saw rather, that they were in a good situation. They was in paradise. There was no wars, no rumors of war, no racial contention, no sicknesses, none of those things. So the devil came into the picture. Let's call the devil Mr. Sin. Is that all right? Mr. Sin came into the picture, and he got into the heart, he got into the mind of Eve. She took that forbidden fruit. Here come her husband, and he accepted from her that sin guilt, if I may. He shared in that sin guilt, and we know that as a result, death reigns this very day, doesn't it? Sin was introduced to you and me because of what happened with Adam and Eve in the very beginning of time. We recognize, according to the Scripture, that they were put out of that garden. They were separated, weren't they? Put away, if I may, because of sin that they committed. Adam and Eve was not in a situation to be able to downplay sin, though they tried. Do you remember what Eve said? Well, when the Lord approached her about that jury, Eve said, well, it's this devil, this serpent made me do it. The serpent deceived me. You remember what the Bible says? What the Bible say? The serpent deceived me and I what? Ate. And then what happened with the husband? Here he comes back in. When the Lord approaches him, he says, wait a minute. It was not my fault. He was downplaying sin. He said, it was her fault because she gave it to me and I ate it. But now he wasn't only willing to downplay sin with her. You remember who he downplayed sin with? God. He said, God is the woman that you gave me. So in essence, what is he saying? God, this must be your fault. Had you not put her here, I probably wouldn't have done that. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't reveal that to us. But what the Bible does reveal is that sin was becoming prevalent at that very moment, wasn't it? It began to permeate itself. And today, we still, just like they did in the days of Adam and Eve, we still have a tendency, brothers and sisters, to downplay sin. Not to look at sin as serious as it is. Sin is very, very, very serious. Sin is deadly. Say that with me. Sin is deadly. Sin is a destroyer. You know that sin destroys. It has destroyed parts of your life. It has destroyed parts of my life. if you're sitting there saying, sin is never touching me, you're already in trouble because you're a liar. And the Bible talks about liar. Sin is sin in everybody because of what happened with Adam and Eve. Sin is around us. Sin is in us. That's why we can't downplay sin. That's why we have to make sure that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him too. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. Do you agree then that sin is deadly? Do you agree also that sin is a destroyer? It destroys, doesn't it? It destroys about everything that gets in the way. Sin is also a separator. Sin is very deceitful. Do you know that sin is very deceitful? Sin is very sneaky. Sin is a liar, and Satan himself is the father of sin. So when we participate in sin, when we decide within ourselves, well, nobody will know you're a liar. God knows, doesn't He? And you know individually, when I partake of a sin that I know I shouldn't be involved in, but I do it anyway, you know why? Because, Tony, we live in this feel-good society. We've always been taught to go after what makes us feel good. Isn't that about right? If it makes us feel good, and then we begin to try to justify sin. Well, the reason I did this is because. The reason I did that is because. When I was growing up, boy, was it difficult. When I did this, this was what happened over here. And because I have a limited education, this happened, and that causes me to sin. No, you sin because you choose to sin. I sin because I choose to sin. But the Bible tells us that there can be forgiveness. Amen? The Bible tells us that God hates sin, but He loves the sinner, doesn't He? And I want to encourage you today that if you're caught up in sin, and sin is controlling your life, don't let sin be your guide. Let God be your guide. Far too often, we allow sin and the dictations of the world to dictate what our route is. I'm en route, brothers and sisters. I'm en route to heaven. And I have made so many mistakes in my walk. I have made so, and I still make these mistakes today. But I'm not where I need to be. But thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen? So that's what we're having to mark for, brothers and sisters. Don't downplay sin. We know, again, according to the Bible, that sin has destroyed nations. It has ruined kings, hasn't it? It about destroyed our King David. We know that cities have been destroyed because of sin. We looked at that a couple of years back. We talked about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're no longer standing. Why? Because of sin. Isn't that about right? Say it like you mean it. All right? And then we know that there's marriages today that have been totally dissolved. Why? Because of sin. Sin moved in, love moved out. Amen? So we know that. Family relationships, far too often, I'm hearing people say far too often that our family just isn't what it used to be. You know why families aren't what it used to be? Yes, there's reasons when death comes about, separation comes up. But sadly, there are so many families that's not even speaking to each other today. Did you know that? There are people in families that won't even communicate one with the other because sin came into the picture somewhere, either in the form of jealousy, came in maybe in the form of greed, covetousness, all these things the Bible talks about that will ruin you. It's sad that sin has come in and destroyed families, but it has. You know what? Sin has also destroyed many of the congregations of the Lord's church. Sin is plumb nasty. My mama used to say that, didn't she, Dana? Sin is plumb nasty. Sin stinks, doesn't it? It's rotten. So do not, listen to me, darling, do not take part in sin at all, okay? Because, Teresa, sin is rotten. Sin will give you life poisoning just as quick as Crystal Restaurant will give you food poisoning. Amen? So we have to remember, don't partake of this sin. Are we clear? You know as well as I do that sin is bad. You don't need me up here standing behind these people just telling you that. So bad that God sent His Son to save us from the eternal consequences. I promised you 10 years ago that I was going to hang on to John 3:16, Romans 5:8, and I'm going to engage that and employ that in every lesson that I possibly can. Guess what? We're going to do it today. John 3:16, go with me. Look on each side. You can't say you can't see it. You do. Move up here. You'll see it. The Bible says, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes in him, but how very good, but how everlasting life. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, another beautiful passage of Scripture, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own toward us that while we were yet sinners, on this side, Christ died for us. Very good. So we see that we have a loving God, the one that will not tolerate sin, but he's also providing us a way back to him. Is that right? He sent Jesus to die for us. He demonstrated. He didn't just say, hey, love you, good to see you. That's not what God did. What God did was say, let me show you how much I love you. I'm going to take my son from the beauty, the comfort, the cleansing, the peace, the hope, and happiness of heaven, and I'm going to send him to the earth that you're walking around on that you're ruining for everybody because of your sin. And Jesus comes and says that perfectly. The example that you and I, brothers and sisters, can follow his things. Have you ever noticed today how mankind sometimes will try to downplay sin? Have you ever noticed that? All right, I appreciate all six of y'all that noticed that. So we notice today that mankind will try to downplay sin. Mankind has tried to water down sin and its eternal consequences for years and years and years. It's sad that man today looks for things and lives for things, brothers and sisters, that makes them feel good. Things that fit comfortably in their lifestyle. Sadly, so many of these same individuals, this is sad, they're just not preparing themselves for judgment. Again, Hebrews 9:27 is appointed once for men to die, but after this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, not on your list, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the seat of to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. Don't think you're going to hide these things in the closet. Don't think you're going to hide them in the trunk of your car. Be sure to know, as the Scripture says, your sin will find you out. Amen? Don't downplay sin. When we begin to downplay sin, we'll also downplay the effects. We'll minimize the consequences of that sin. Think about some of the people that you know personally, or perhaps you're struggling with the very same thing in the arena of downplaying sin. We see folks today, you see people today, that call themselves Christians and yet do things that God must be very, very disappointed in. Sadly, there are many, many so-called Christians that will pay more allegiance to sin and the pleasure of sin than that of doing these things for Christ. Do you agree with that? Let's take a look. The lesson regarding downplaying sin. Don't do it because it's deadly. Say that with me. Don't do it because it's deadly. Very good. First point I want to consider today, as we're talking about don't downplay sin because it's deadly, here's the first thing. It's the tendency of man to downplay sin. Don't do it because it's deadly. Very good. Mankind has always thought that sin should be softened. Have you ever thought about that? Mankind today has always had this idea that maybe we can soften sin up a little bit. And maybe the effects will be a little bit easier. Man calls sin a little bit of everything except what it is. Man calls sin today a mistake. You've heard people say that, well, it was just a mistake, no big deal. But other people may call it a struggle. Perhaps they call sin an error in judgment. We've heard that before. I've used that. When I fall short, miss the mark, I'm not sinning. You're sinning, but not probably not me, is an error in judgment. No, it's a sin. Or an inappropriate action and so on. For sin in our lives today, we put it off on everybody else. We blame society, though. We blame society, Amy, for our sin. We blame society on everything. If he hadn't have done that, if she hadn't have done that, if they hadn't have done that, I probably wouldn't have done this. Liar. Great big liar. We choose to sin. Amen. We're all going to sin. But we choose to commit ourselves and continue to commit intentional sin. But did you know we do? We blame so many different folks. We blame so many different things regarding that. We blame society. You know who else we blame? Parents. Did you know that so many people blame their parents? If my mom would have done this differently, if my dad would have done this differently. My mom never really instilled in my mind the seriousness of being in church. My dad never took us to church. Are y'all getting the picture? Blame it on mom and dad. It's their fault. It's not your fault. You know, blame it on them. Go spit on their grave if they're dead. That's what's their fault. No, it's not. It's your fault. You're old enough to make it. You're old enough to minister to someone like your mom. You're old enough to read and study the Bible and know what's right, mom. Yes or no? Amen? We also blame teachers. Did y'all know that we blame teachers today? You know, if the teachers in the school system would just give a little bit more attention to little Johnny, boy, would things be better. You know, it just seems like the teacher has their pets and little Johnny's struggling. Little Johnny's struggling because little Johnny's meaner to me. Little Johnny needs to go out back with Big Papa. And let me show little Johnny how we handle things like that. They still remember those days, don't you? Jerry, you remember those days, don't you? Both of these guys told me they hated me one day. Can you believe that? All because I threw rock and hit chase because I told Jerry to move out when he was seven. I didn't understand that. Very good. All right, so we blame teachers. We also blame preachers today. Did y'all know that? It's the preacher's fault. You know why it's the preacher's fault? Because so many preachers today are preaching for a living and not for teaching. Amen? Too many preachers, far too many preachers, they want that clergy card, if I may. That's not a good word to use, but I use it anyway. Tom Holland is rolling over the ground in his grave. But they use that little, I get a free pass. When I go to the hospital, I get the parking, pastoral parking now. No. Preachers today are getting blamed for a lot of stuff, but there are preachers out there today that are just giving you things that will make you feel good. They're preaching these lessons that will just encourage you, and they're great motivators. Brothers and sisters, I can preach to you about the beauty of heaven all day long, but I also have a responsibility to tell you about the horrors of hell as well, don't I? I have to give you the whole picture. And the whole picture is that sin right now in your life, in my life, in the life that we're living, is being downplayed. And the reason I can say that with all confidence is we can see it. Ray Charles can see it, and he's blind as a bat, wasn't he? So the reality is, God sees what's going on in our life. You can build any facade you want to around sin. You can blame it on anybody you want to, but you will be held accountable. Many people blame the economy, as I said a while ago. Some people blame the government, but very rarely do you hear individuals take the responsibility for themselves. This is not. I should have never engaged in this. I should have never associated with this group of people because of my weaknesses. Very seldom do we take responsibility. I want to encourage you today to take responsibility. Do not downplay sin any longer. Say that with me. Do not downplay sin any longer. I am amazed at the many excuses that man uses to rationalize sin in their life today. They say such thing as, Just one time won't hurt anything, says the alcoholic. That's having to go. Amen. Says the individual that has addictions. And remember, just that one time won't hurt anything. And there are those that says, well, everyone else is doing it, and they seem to be okay. Says the one that's compromising their own salvation. Or the very famous, I can quit anytime I want to, says the gambler. Says the one that lost his house. Says the one that lost his car. Says the one that lost his marriage. Are you following me? All it takes is that one time. That one little taste of that sin that we shouldn't be engaged in. And it will ruin us. It will overtake us. We have others in the world today that are involved in intentional sin, and they say things such as, come on, man, get with it. This is the 2000s. Everybody's doing it. I don't care what everybody's doing. Not everybody is going to heaven, amen? But those who do the will of Almighty God. I have personally heard this one. Well, we were all in on it. Nobody was hurt, so I'm sure that God is. Sin is transgressing against the will of God. Listen, you can downplay sin all you want to. I can't stop you from doing that, but it's not going to minimize the eternal effects of your sin. Matthew chapter 25, down to verse 46, the Bible says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but but the righteous, the Christian, the follower, into what? Into eternal life. Let's all be certain that we are not downplaying sin today. We are to call sin what it is. Sin is transgressing against the will of God and transgressing against the way of God. It's missing the mark. It's falling short of the glory of Almighty God. Sin is sin. Don't downplay it, as it can have a devastating effect upon your soul and where your soul will be for eternity. Let us always remember that not only does it affect your soul, but it will affect and it will affect the souls of those that are about you. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we're encouraged to let our light so shine before that they may see your glorifying. The second point I want to do is to talk about don't downplay sin. Let's look, listen to me. Let's take a look at what sin will do because it's deadly. Okay? Take a look at what sin will do because it is deadly. I hope and pray that each person assembled here in this building today understands that sin has a purpose. Do you agree with that? Sin has a purpose, and the father of sin has a purpose. Who is the father of sin? Very good. Satan himself. It is truly sin's desire. It is truly Satan's desire to deceive you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to, and does, lie to you. And he lies to me. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 14. And let's see that sin will lie to us and tell us that it's okay to do this. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to do what we want. It's okay to do what makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look and see this. Hebrews 3. Y'all ready for 12 through 14? The Bible says, beware. That means watch out. Be on guard. Be alert. Watch this, brother, unless there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief, watch this, in departing from who? The living God. Go to 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called the day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness. You see that? Through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The devil has one thing in mind, to get us in his snare. Amen? He wants to keep us in his snare. You remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Satan, he's got a sin prison, doesn't he? And he is the warden. And he wants to get you, and he wants to hold you captive in sin's prison. Are we together? But we have to be sure, as we talk about living in that feel-good society, please, please don't think, well, God will understand. No, he doesn't. God understands what we've gone through. God understands our battle, but he's provided for us the way back into him, hasn't he? So he's not going to let you keep making excuses. He's not going to allow me to keep making excuses. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 26, if we continue to sin willfully, after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a what? A sacrifice for that sin. What does that mean, baby? That means if I know better and I just keep doing it, then the blood of Jesus Christ is in vain. Make sense? I can't just keep on sinning and keep on sinning and keep on sinning intentionally and thinking, well, everything's going to be all right. No, it's not going to be okay. You just heard it from the Hebrew writer. If you continue to do it, there no longer remains a sacrifice. What does that mean? That means there's no more forgiveness than that. Yes or no? All right. Y'all with me? All right. I'm heading over to the book of John. Are y'all already there? All right, I'll be there. John 8, we're going to look at 31 through what, 34. Y'all like that? Mm-hmm. All right. So there's some things we've got to talk about in this. Sin has a desire, brothers and sisters, to enslave us, doesn't it? Sin wants us to serve sin and not serve God. Sin will lie to you. Sin will entice you in every way that it can. It will come about when you are most vulnerable. You get that? When we are most vulnerable, guess who's watching us? Satan. Guess who's watching us? Satan. God's watching after us. But guess who's really paying very close attention? And when I get mad at my job, or I'm having me and Paul and I are having an argument, or Jerry's mad at me and I'm mad at him, and things aren't going well, man, you know how quick I can sin then? Because I'm ticked off. Anybody ever been ticked off? Because I'm mad. because I'm pouting, where Paula would tell me, Jerry Sr.'s in phase two of this pouting process. We've got two more to go. That's hope. I didn't appreciate that, Paula. Thank you, Sam. Are you on my side or her? Oh, there we go. Very good. All right, John 8, 31 through 34. We need to remember, seriously, that sin will come about when you're most vulnerable. When we yield to sin, listen to me, when we do yield to sin, we are listening to sin. We're listening to the devil. When we are engaging in that sin, we are giving the devil the victory. Take a look at John 8, 31 through 34. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my what? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a what? A slave of sin. If you're following after the righteousness of God, you're a slave of righteousness. If you're yielding to sin, continuing in sin, you're a slave to sin. I can't change that. Only you can. Amen? But we have to call sin what it is. Folks, that is what sin does. It minimizes, seriously, it minimizes its effect. It will slowly corrupt your life a little at a time until it can move wholeheartedly so that it can move into every single part of your life. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Sin is deadly. Do y'all agree that sin is deadly? Don't downplay it. Sin will bring forth spiritual death, and sin will separate us from Almighty God. Let me take you over, if you don't mind, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, look at me, verse 22. The Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand, watch this, is not short that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but, y'all ready? But your iniquities, your sin, have separated you from God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not what? Hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues multiplied perversity. So the list is endless. But it is you that separate yourself from God. It is your sin that separates you from God. Why does that happen in our lives? Because we have a tendency to downplay and definitely. Please understand and remember that there's always consequences for sin. Don't think that there's not consequences for sin. Do you remember reading about the flood? Anybody here remember about the flood? Not Mark's flood, but the flood that flooded the whole earth. Anybody remember that? The flood came about because of what? Because of the S. Sin, okay. And you know what? We need to remember that. Do you remember the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah I told you about a while ago? Those cities were destroyed because of something else. Sin, is that exactly right? Do you remember how Judas Iscariot, do you remember how his life ended when he betrayed Jesus and he went out and how did he end his life? He hanged himself all because of something else. The sin of greed, wasn't it? He sold Jesus for those pieces of silver, wasn't it? So sin came in. He downplayed it. Nobody will ever know, Amy. I can get, you know, 39, 40, 50, whatever pieces of silver, and I'm just going to be happy to do this. Oh, he lost a little bit. Then it dawned on him. I betrayed innocent blood. He took the silver back. He threw it back at him. Said, hey, I can't do this. It's too late. A deal's a deal. What did he do? He went out, instead of going to Jesus and repenting and getting forgiveness, he couldn't even take that. He did what to himself? I don't know that y'all mean what you're saying. He hanged himself, killed himself, didn't he? Life was ended. There's another couple we can talk about too, the true story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11. They were both put to death because of their, it starts with an S, sin, exactly right, because they lied to the Holy Spirit, didn't they? And they were put to death as a result. So this is endless. It is of soul-saving importance that we never downplay sin. Because its consequences are seriously deadly. Sin will kill your soul. Do you agree? Don't downplay it. If we find ourselves downplaying sin in our own lives or family members' lives, Let's be sure we understand that sin is a disease of the soul. It's deadly, and it will enslave us to a life of struggles while here upon this earth, and it will put us into eternity in hell. Amen? So leave it alone. Don't play with sin. Yes or no? All right. The third and final point, then you're going to go home with this one. I want to take a quick look at how God looks upon sin. Is that all right with everybody? Let's take a look at how God looks at sin, because sin is indeed deadly. Say that with me. Sin is... All right, it's deadly. So let's head over to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 6 here in just a moment. God knows, listen to me, God knows all about sin and the death sin will bring about. God hates sin. Say that with me. God hates sin. Look over at Exodus chapter 20, look at verses 1 through 6. The scripture says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." We see that, but yet we do, don't we? There's sporting events today that's more important than God. You see that every single day in some people's lives. But you shall, what? Look at this. "I am the Lord your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Verse 3. "You shall have no other gods before me." But yet people are letting their husbands become a god, small g. They're letting their wives become a god, small g. They're letting their children become a god, small g. "Well, I can't do this, I can't do that, because little Johnny said no." Little Johnny, or Johnny will do what I tell him to do. Do you understand what I'm getting at? But we parents have lost control of little Johnny. We put him over in the corner, make him face the other way for 4 minutes. I'm old school, y'all. I'm old school. Beat him. All right. Beat him. All right. "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above." Listen, "for that is in the earth beneath, the things of water in the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." Why? "For I, the Lord your God, am a..." "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and to those who keep my..." John 14, 15. "If you love me, do what?" We know, according to God's word, that sin is often referred to as abomination. God makes it very clear in his word that severe punishment, listen, severe punishment will come to those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus. For those who do not obey what he's calling to do. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9. "In flaming, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey his word." So we continue to hear God's word. We hear it preached. We hear it when we're studying his word. But we go right on out there and we just keep on sinning like a heathen. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not. That's not... Paul is kind of talking about that, but it came from who? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is providence for doctrine, for truth, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. And then God may be complete, starting with for every good. So you have to believe, right? You have to believe in the scriptures, and the scriptures reveal these things to us. Matthew 13, 41, 42, Matthew 13, 49, 50 talks about that as well. God hates sin. Listen, the earth was cursed because of sin. Genesis chapter 3, 17 and 18, if you don't read the preacher. We know that death entered the world because of sin. Now, take a look at Romans 5, verse 12. You'll see that. We know the sting of death is sin. Who said? God did. Where? 1 Corinthians 15, 56. Please know that sin prevents folks from entering heaven, doesn't it? It will stop you from being joint heirs with Christ Jesus if you fail to repent. Who said? Jesus does. Where? Luke 13, 3 and 5. "I tell you, neighbor, unless you repent, you will all likewise." Sin's punishment is eternal. Matthew 25, verse 26. "And these will lead to everlasting, but the righteousness is eternal life." You see that? Two groups. Some going to hell, some going to the ones that downplay sin, that continue to engage in sin, that will envelop themselves in sin, with no regard after what sin will do, you're headed straight on to hell. You can leave her today and say the preacher's judging. I'll not tell you exactly what the Bible says. That's what Matthew 25 is. Do y'all agree with that? I didn't say it. I just told you what Jesus said. It's up to you to do with what you want. But the righteous into eternal life. Now, probably nobody will leave saying, did you hear what the preacher said today? That, you know, the righteous, the Christians, that have eternal life in Christ. I have a smile on their face. But for the ones that want to engage in sin, I don't like that preacher. I ain't never liked that preacher. I too. Satan liked me because I too. The reality is, brothers and sisters, let's not downplay sin. Amen? Why? Because it's... I was hoping that wasn't good. Okay. So in our closing, seriously, this morning, it's indeed a true fact that people downplay sin. What are we teaching our youth? Are we teaching our youth the seriousness of sin? Are we showing them by the lifestyle that we live? Are we letting them see that unforgiven sin will bring forth death? So what about you individually? Are you downplaying sin when you're engaged in certain acts of iniquity, when you know perfectly well if it goes against the will of God, it is sin? Are you downplaying sin when sin is in your own family? This is something that a lot of people may be guilty of. Not proud of it. But if you notice it when somebody else is sinning, you might say things like, how in the world did they do that? You see what he did? You see what she did? Did you see how that, if I was that mama, there wouldn't be nothing left on that child. Or, did you see how he talked to her? If I were to say that to Paula, I'd wake up 2 weeks from now. You know, those type things. Did you see how he sinned? Did you see what she did? Did you see what they, however, when it's in our own family, if you notice it's not that big of a deal. Now you're good offended. You're right where we need to be. If it's our own family, it's nowhere near as bad. And have you noticed, as I close, Jerry, have you noticed if we're talking about sin, we're talking about problems, we always find somebody else that needs help more than we do in the sin. Anybody, are y'all with me or not? I think we need to talk to him. Oh, we need to pull him aside. We need to really get with him. We're our brother's keeper. We need to really get with her. We need to really get with them. No, what you really need to do and what I really need to do is search our own heart, clean off our front porch, quit downplaying the sin in our lives, confess it to God, and move forward from this moment on. Yes or no? That, brothers and sisters, is what we've got to do. Quit downplaying sin. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about sin? You're going to lie to yourself and say, oh, everything will be all right. No. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can make the decision from this very moment to do what God's called you to do. Stop downplaying sin. Recognize it for what it is. Sin is a destroyer, sin kills, it enslaves, and it'll put you in hell, right? However, the righteousness of God will give you hope in this very world. It gives you hope beyond the grave. It will allow God's word to exhort you and lift you up when you're feeling down and out. It will help you get through the trials and adversity that you and I face on a daily basis. It will get us there. It doesn't mean that our utility bill is not going to be high. It doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to get boiling mad. It doesn't mean that all of our habits are just going to go away overnight. But it means that we are going to slowly progress into who God wants us to be. Amen? But you've got to begin somewhere. You begin somewhere. If you're not a Christian, hear God's word. Believe in God's word. Believe in Jesus Christ. Make that confession in front of a witness or witnesses. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Come out of that water grave of baptism, being baptized upon that confession. And listen to me. When you come out of that water grave of baptism, that's when it really begins, doesn't it? Live your life for Jesus Christ. Amen? Faithful unto death. And always remember that we are indeed, maybe today you're a Christian, maybe you've been baptized, but you find yourself back into the things of the world. You find yourself you've been derailed a little bit. Ask for the prayers of the congregation. I'm going to send an invitation to you in just a moment. But if you need something, let us know. Let us pray with you, for you, help you, encourage you to do what God wants us to do. I petition your prayers every single week. Please continue to pray for me to be a better preacher, to be a better follower of Jesus Christ. Because when it's all said and done, all I want is a home in heaven with God. Amen. Could you have a need? You need it all. Come now.